1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 17. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that when you left this earth, you left your word with us. Lord, an instruction manual for life. It's our privilege this morning to study your word together as your people, as every nation, Auckland Central Church. We give you all the honor and the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, you may have your seats. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, I used to be known by my Christian name. So my name, Wee Yong, is not actually a Christian name. I used to be known by my Christian name, Wee Yong. Another, Michael, sorry. I'm a bit confused. What's my name? I arrived in New Zealand in 1994 as a young 16-year-old kid, and I attended a school out west called Avondale College. Dale State. Any Avondale College people here? Go Jono. Yes. All right, out the back. You know, and I remember my first week at school, walking down the corridor, you know, just really feeling a little bit out of place, you know, feeling this just a sense of missing home, missing my family, missing my friends. And I remember just walking down the corridor and I hear someone go, "Michael," and I turn around and it wasn't me. And I was like, okay. Kept walking, and within seconds, someone else says, "Michael." And I turned around, it wasn't me. And by the third time, that first day, I decided to change back to my Chinese name. I'm Chinese by descent, born in Malaysia, Muslim country, grew up there for 16 years, and then I moved to this great, beautiful land of New Zealand 23 years ago. Now, you know, when I was first in my classes, especially my English class, I remember people came up to me and introduced themselves and said, "Hi, my name is David. Do you speak English?" And I say, "Of course I do, don't you?" And, you know, that happened a little bit. And as an immigrant back in the 90s, I don't know. I mean, I never really experienced out-and-out racism. But what I did experience was just a real discomfort. And people would assume, but just by looking at me, because back then there were far less people that looked like me, far less Asians in this country. And I just remember constantly feeling like I had to somehow prove myself. You know, that set me on a path, it gave me a real determination, you know, to prove them wrong. And by the end of my sixth form year, which is year 12, I got number second in English in the entire form. And I remember walking a little bit taller down the corridor going, "My name's Wee Yong, and I speak English." All right, let's go to the next slide. You know, you're not what I thought. Have you ever been told that? "You're not what I thought. I thought you were this, but then you actually turned out to be this." You know, sometimes, don't you wish that you could just set out to prove them wrong? You know, the book of 1 Peter was set in such a time like this. People judged Christians back then by first impressions. There was a certain view of Christians back in those days. And there were many, many naysayers. Now, Pastor Peter, as Pastor Richard explained to us over the last 3 weeks of the First Peter series, that Pastor Peter wrote this book of First Peter as a circular. What a circular is like an email in today's terms. A circular is a letter that is written to a group of people, and it's sent around in a circular fashion, geographically, and it's passed from place to place, and someone would read it out to a group of people. Now, Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter to the diaspora of Jews and Christians that were scattered through 5 different locations. Now, these people were the very first believers. You know, because the book of 1 Peter was written around 60 or so AD, after Jesus had died and rose again and gone to heaven. And you can imagine that in that time, there were still people that were alive, like Pastor Peter. He was probably in his 80s, because he was around his 20s when he was a disciple of Jesus, when Jesus was walking this earth. So he's an older gentleman now, and he's writing this letter to people. And there would have been many people around the 30, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old of age that never witnessed firsthand the life of Jesus. And so these people, he was writing to them just to tell them and to remind them of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that the Jewish people had been waiting on for years and years, thousands of years, and who finally came as the Savior of all of mankind. That was the condition and the climate that Peter was writing in. You know, I've really enjoyed the first 3 installments from Pastor Richard, where Pastor Peter wrote in chapter 1, reminding these people that were not eyewitnesses of Jesus, these people that never saw or met Jesus for themselves. He was reminding them that they were given a salvation, that they were given a living hope, a new birth that was unperishable. They were given an eternal hope, an eternal home to look forward to that will not perish. Because these people, they were scattered everywhere because there was persecution. Persecution was rife. That the Emperor Nero, like Pastor Richard very, very graphically described, he found murdering Christians, killing Christians in creative ways as a hobby. That was the condition of Christianity at that time. And so this circular letter was being passed across those 5 different locations and read out to the people. And they were also reminded of their responsibility of holy living. Firstly, they were reminded that they were given the salvation that they did not earn. They were given a salvation from Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty on the cross for their sins. And based on that salvation, the power to live a holy life was also imputed and given. That a Holy Spirit was given to them, that they would be able to live a holy life. And you know, last week, Pastor Richard reminded us that living a holy life is impossible apart from the Word of God, reminding us that we should crave the Word of God like a baby craves milk. And today, we're going to talk about the fact that all of these great things have been given, and now what do we do with it? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? 3 times in the first chapter and a half, chapter 1 and half of chapter 2, the words aliens and strangers was used. Aliens and strangers. They were reminded also that they were elect exiles. Chapter 1 verse 1, chapter 1 verse 17, and chapter 2 verse 11. They were reminded that they were aliens and strangers, not only physically in those 5 locations they had gone to, but also reminding them that their home is in heaven. Why is it important for us to remember today? How is that relevant for us today to know and remember that we are aliens and strangers? You know, some of us, like me, back in 1994, walking the corridors of Avondale College, feeling so uncomfortable in a strange land. You know, actually, that feeling of being an alien and a stranger here on this green earth is a thing that we should hold on to. You know why? Because this is not our ultimate destination, friends. This earth is not our ultimate destination. And the more we think, the more we live as though this earth is our ultimate destination, the more we're going to get comfortable, the more we're going to get into a rut that every day is the same old, that is just Groundhog Day. That we will just tell ourselves that one day I will do something for God. That one day I will put right the wrongs that have been done. But remember, guys and girls, this green earth is not your final destination. It says in the Bible very clearly, we all will live once, and then we will perish, and then we will face judgment. Now, when is that? Nobody will know. Only God knows when your days would be over. Aliens and strangers. You know, what initially does sound very negative, it's actually a positive thing. That should be our posture, that this earth is our temporary home. You know, his friend Paul, so there's Peter, who wrote a few books in the New Testament, and then there's Paul as well, who wrote 13 out of 27 books in the New Testament. His buddy Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles, Peter was sent to the Jews, and they were operating like, you know, Batman and Robin, but not together, but in separate locations. And his buddy Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians, his book to the Corinth, the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said this, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." What was he referring to? What was Paul referring to as light and momentary? Let me read this out to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. It's not on the screen. Just follow me through the Bible. This is what Paul was referring to as light and momentary. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? That is what Paul referred to, light and momentary. When we have our perspective fixed upon eternity, every single challenge you may face right now is light. I don't know about you, but I don't think my troubles would come even 10% close to what Paul has just referred to as light and momentary. Perspective. Everybody say perspective. Perspective. You know, sometimes living in the first world, we have first world problems, right? The Wi-Fi signal is a bit weak, you know. The contractors took a bit long to get my fiber in. My coffee is a bit cold. I need 2 shots for my mocha rather than 1 shot. You know? Perspective. So these people that Peter, Pastor Peter, was writing to, they were living in a situation where being a Christian was actually quite dangerous. People were judging Christians because Christians were closely related to Jews. Now, Christianity wasn't just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. But here's the thing. Christianity was seen still as a sect of Judaism at the time. It was actually known as the Way. The Way was the original name for Christianity back in those days. And you see, the biggest names in the Way was firstly who? Name starts with J, and it's not Jose. Jesus. Remember he got killed? Why did he get killed? Because of blasphemy. He claimed to be God. And you know what? He was right. He is God. So Jesus, as a Jew, was related to that sect of Christianity. And then the other great name in Christianity back then was Paul. Murderer Paul. Saul. He went around actually murdering Christians. He was the Osama bin Laden of the day. And on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus face to face, and he had the ultimate turnaround, and Saul became a Christian. And his name changed to Paul. But throughout that society, people knew that these people were Jews. And so Christians carried the same judgment. Christians carried the same persecution because, you know, back then, Christianity was just a burgeoning faith. It was just growing, you know. And the mainstream looked upon it with harshness. Scholars have said that Jews back then were accused of all kinds of things. They were accused of sexual immorality, incest. They were accused of being disloyal to Caesar. They were accused even of cannibalism. I was doing my study this week. I didn't realize that. But they were accused. There were rumors that said that Christians would actually get Gentiles and actually imprison them and groom them for the stew. You know, they were cannibals. I'm like, but all of these were untrue. But rumors were spread about Christians because that's what the view of was Christians back then. It wasn't easy to be a Christian. What about to us today? What does the world and society think of Christians? Do they think about Christians in a positive light? Do they look at Christians in a negative light? Do they think that Christians are lunatics, weak, crazy, greedy? What do your friends who are not Christians think of Christianity? Maybe the persecution is not as intense in the first world that we live in today. But you know what? The society that we live in have a certain view of Christianity, and it is up to you and me to prove them wrong. You are not what I thought. You call yourself a Christian and say, wow, you're not what I thought. I thought Christians were like this. But how come you're different? Now let our light shine. Now let our light shine. You know, in our personal life, this applies. Looking at that verse right there. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. That word honorable is called galos in Greek. Everybody say galos. Not Carlos, the Spanish guy. But say galos. Say galos. You know what galos means? Lovely. It means attractive. It means winsome. That it says that our conduct amongst the Gentiles, amongst the non-believers, how you behave when you're amongst people that don't share your faith, that people that don't agree with Christianity should be honorable. Not just nice. Honorable is different from nice. Have you ever heard people say, oh, Christians are so nice. I'm sick of being nice. Who's sick of being nice? But honorable is a different thing. It means that it's attractive. When you look at something or someone that's attractive, you go, man, that PJ, something about that beard. It's attractive. Something that causes your attention to be diverted, that's honorable. Now, friends, family, are we honorable? Are we honorable amongst our family members? When our brothers, sisters, mothers, uncles, aunties, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and great-grandfathers look at us. Our cousins, our half-siblings, when they look at us, when your colleagues, when your students, if you're lecturers, your classmates, for those of us who are students, your bosses, when they look at you, are you winsome? Or do we live an honorable life? Now, what you might go, Pastor Byung, what must I do to be honorable? It's not that hard. Show up early. Don't show up on time. Put your hand up to take on more work. Be proactive. Dress properly. All right? No holes in your clothes. It's easy. But you know, sometimes we don't even do the basics. I say we because I can slip into that sometimes. I can think that, you know what, my responsibility is present the gospel. So if I know, remember a few words, and I go out there and just point my finger and do the chop, you know, like when I preach the gospel, that's all I need to do? No. It says, be winsome. Be honorable. Be the best that you can be. Because if we don't show up, if we skip classes, students, if we're not passing our assignments and papers, whoo, silence in the room. That's not winsome. Pastor Peter is telling these people that all these people are waiting for you to fail. Whoo. You know the world's waiting for you to fail? How many of us have read the papers and front page? Christian pastor, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, church does something greedy. Right? How many of us? Yeah? Let's be real here. Let's be honest. Sorry for shouting. Okay? That might get in the papers. Now, that's not very kind, eh? You know, we need to do the basics well. Let's be honorable. Because that's attractive. You know, these days, I'm telling you, I work amongst young people, amongst students at university. I'm telling you, it is very easy to stand out. For 14 years, I used to hire people for work. Before I was a pastor, I worked in the corporate world for 14 years. I would interview people. And you know, the basic courtesies are so lacking these days. That if you do the basics, if you zip up your jacket, if you put some gel on your hair, if you even spray some things to make you smell good, the basics, you will stand out. I know some of you that are managers and bosses here, and you're like, man, yeah, we're scraping the barrel sometimes, eh? Not asking a lot. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles. Carlos. Everybody say, Carlos. So that when they speak about you, when they speak against you, so Peter's not saying that, oh, they might speak against you. He's saying when they speak, it's not if, he's saying that you are being watched. Boys and girls, friends, you are being watched. And not only should our conduct be honorable, but this is what he says. That when they speak against you as evildoers,
they may see your good deeds and they will glorify your God. These are Gentiles. These are unbelievers. They'll look at you and say, hey, wow, your faith makes a difference. That your God is real. All the words that you say, all the invites to church, when they look at your conduct, it should be so winsome that they'll go, I want to be a Christian because you are a Christian. That they will glorify God. It's pretty extreme that they will glorify God. It didn't just say be winsome and they'll stop hassling you. It says be winsome that they will glorify God. So you tell me, oh, I'm not an extrovert, Pastor Weong. I can't evangelize the God test. You know, I feel the pressure. Like this church always talks about the God test. It's not me. Not me. It's not me too. But I do it. But you know, that's not the most important thing. It's our conduct. Our conduct. It's your carlos. Turn to your neighbor and say, carlos. And if your name is Carlos, don't forget it. And you know, it's Peter was encouraging to as they live amongst non-Christians, that they are not to be a holy huddle. Who knows what a holy huddle is? That Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all your time is spent in this kind of environment. That you're a light in a light store. Let your light shine before men. If you've ever heard of that verse, this is what it's saying. Let your light shine. But if you're a light in a lighting store, maybe you're like one of these little ones. Or maybe you're one of these big ones. The chandelier. It doesn't matter. You're not gonna be noticed because it's already bright. It's already bright. When you're working in your office and you hate your boss, be Carlos. If there's colleagues that are just annoying, buy them a coffee. You know, if you're a little bit sick, but not really actually sick, don't pull a sickie. Oh, sorry. Amen, amen. Let me pray. Let me land the plane. Look, I do that sometimes in the past. Try to be relevant, Pastor Richard, you know. I'm a sinner too. It's got to be 2 shots mocha. Only from 3 Beans Coffee. You know, in chapter 2, verse 15, this is what it says. For this is the will of God. Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What's the will of God for my life? By doing good, you will put to silence. They have nothing to say against you. And you know what the positive thing is? When managerial positions, supervisory positions, the next level comes up, you know who they're going to pick for promotions? Carlos, the Spanish guy. Not you. So you know how I should have been called Carlos, not Michael. But I did quite like Michael because, you know, Michael Jackson's got moves and Michael Jordan's got the airtime. Now, anyway, maybe I'll be called Carlos one day. This is the will of God. You know, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's almost word for word the same as what I've just read out to you. So as I explained in chapter 1, Pastor Peter reminded these Christians that were living in a society where persecution, it wasn't cool to be a Christian. He was reminding them that, hey guys, you have been given the salvation that doesn't require anything of you. It's free. And through God's power and His mercy and His purification and the reliance on God's word, that we are able to actually live a holy life. Now let your light shine.
I was on campus this week with some friends of mine doing some God testing. It was Jesus Week at the University of Auckland. So some of our students and staff, we were there doing God testing, basically talking to God about people to, about God. And I remember I was out with Isaac Klassen, and we met these two people, a guy and a girl, Daniel and Gabriel, remember? And we were giving out free hot chocolates, so we were like trying to bribe them so that they would actually talk to us, you know, being winsome. And so I said to the guy, hey, you want some free hot chocolate? And he goes, what's the catch? I'm like, are you thirsty? You know, no catch. Goes, okay. So then he and this other girl, not his girlfriend, just a friend who's a girl, went over to get a hot chocolate. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm a bit stubborn like that. I said, by the way, we're just having conversations with people about what they believe. You know, you don't have to participate, but if you have some time. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll just have a chat while I'm having a coffee. And what transpired was almost a good half hour to 35 minutes, I think, Isaac. We were just talking about God and about what their views are, and I shared the gospel from start to end. And you know, at the very end, I asked Daniel, who was very skeptical at the end, but he was quite interested. He was skeptical at the start, but interested at the end. I said, hey, Daniel, would you tell me one thing that you took away from today's conversation? And you know what he said? He said, you guys are the most chilled out Christians I've ever met. I was pretty fired up. Isaac's pretty chilled out. Yeah. He was Carlos. Carlos. You know, I mean, the goal is not to just be a nice guy. I wasn't very nice. I was talking about sin. I was talking about hell. But you know, the thing is that the world has such a poor image of Christians that we are Bible bashers, that we actually don't care about people. We just want to force someone to believe. The bar is so low that if you're just a nice person giving away hot chocolates and just telling people about God, they're just going to go, wow, you're the most chilled out Christians I've ever met. And maybe the next chilled out Christian they meet has the opportunity to lead Daniel and Gabriel into the kingdom of God. At our workplace and amongst our communities in faith. You know, it says this, chapter 2, verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and do praise and to praise those who do good. You see, it's Peter's saying to these Christians that you need to, for the Lord's sake, we need to submit, be subject to every human institution, whether it be Bill English or Jacinda Ardern or Emperor Nero, that killed your cousin, skinned him, hung him, burnt him on a stake. You, O Christian, are to be winsome and to subject yourself to the Emperor Nero. That's what Peter said. You know, if you didn't know the background to this, you'd be like, yeah, subject to the Emperor, it's pretty easy. But consider the condition that these people were receiving this letter. There will be times that it's not easy for you to submit to your bosses. There will be times that it's not easy to submit yourself to people that are ruling this country. But you know, what we are required to do is to submit and be subject to those God has set in to rule and to govern. But clearly, if what they're doing is against what the Bible says, that would be an exception. In my opinion,
That if someone in leadership asks you to do something illegal, I would say, no, don't submit. But otherwise, just because they're not Christians doesn't mean that you don't subject yourself. Don't be a political activist as a Christian, necessarily, just for the sake of it, right? Don't be a rebel against the world just because they're not Christians. God has put good people in place. And you read right throughout the Old Testament, God has used many different kingdoms, many different kings, many different pharaohs to carry out his work. It's not to say that what they did was righteous, but God is sovereign. He can use anything and anyone. Amen? Why are we supposed to be subject? You know, because it's connected to the first thing, that when you are winsome, when you're not always just objecting to everything all the time, then people are going to be attracted to this faith that you supposedly subscribe to, this faith called Christianity. You know, we are supposed to be good followers. We are supposed to be a blessing to our workplace. Now, let your light shine. What would people say when they first met you? What will their first impression be? And what would their impression be of you after having spent some time with you? You know, when I, early days, I wanted to prove people wrong because everyone will judge you based on first impressions. But you know, all of us have the opportunity to be able to prove people wrong with our conduct. And if we're winsome, that will allow them to take one step closer towards an eternal destiny, the same one that you and I enjoy. We will not repel them. We will not push them away. That they would be inquiring of you, how do I become a Christian? So here's the summary of it all. Last verse that I'm covering off today, chapter 2, verse 17. Says, honor everyone. Everyone means everyone, isn't it? Like, it's pretty all-encompassing. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Oh, the brotherhood say, yeah. Fear God. And then honor the emperor. You know, that's a summary. That's basically a summary of Peter's instructions to the Christians at the time that this is what we are to do. How can we apply this in our context? How can you apply this to your context? You know, over the next few moments, as we take a moment of quietness to reflect on our situation, our workplace, our community, our context, ask yourself, how can I honor everyone? How can I love the brotherhood or the sisterhood? How can I fear God? And how can I honor the emperor? In other words, someone who's in a leadership position over you. Shall we all close our eyes for a second? And maybe for the next minute, just consider in your own lives, in your own context, how can you fulfill these things that Peter asks of us? Eyes are closed, all heads are bowed. Firstly, I want to speak to those of us who are Christians here, who consider ourselves Christians. How many of us, you're ready to let your light shine properly? Like, you know, you've kind of hidden your light under a bowl. You know, you've kind of, I suppose, you know, there's no judgment here. You haven't really let your light shine. But, you know, you're thinking, I do need to. Not through my self-effort, but I need to let God's power, His Holy Spirit, shine through me. And I shouldn't somehow hide that light. If that is you, no one's looking around at you, why don't you put your hand up and you're ready to let your light shine? Hands all over. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. You know, when we do something externally to represent what's going on internally, there's power in that. There's power as you put your hand up. You're saying, you're making a pledge. You're saying to God that, you know, here I am, God, send me. I'm willing and I'm able and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my life as a Christian. Father, you honor these people. Lord, no one is looking at them. You see their hands. You see their hands and you know exactly what you can do to help them. Father, I pray and I break every stronghold that is hindering every single one who's got their hands up right now. Any fear in the name of Jesus, be gone. Any insecurity in the name of Jesus, be gone. Lord, bless them. Fill them with your power, with your courage to be your light unto their communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Eyes still closed for a second. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, but you'd like to be and you're not really sure how to be, I want to talk to you for a second. You know, this book of 1 Peter, written by Peter, an eyewitness, a person that actually spent time with Jesus. This Jesus that he writes about, he came for you. You know, many religions will tell you to do A, B, and C to achieve the next level, to achieve enlightenment, to achieve some kind of higher plane of existence. But you know, God, the God of the Bible who created you, He is love. He loves you. He desires to be with you, but His holiness separates you from Him. Because the requirement for holiness to be with God is 100%, and none of us are 100% sinless. And there is a problem that if we try to be with God in our current nature of sin, we will get destroyed. That we're eternally separated from Him. That one day when you and I die, we will face judgment. And the only way to be with God is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who He came and lived a perfect life, the life that you and I should have lived. And then He died a cruciating death, a shameful death, to pay for your sins and my sins, meaning that He exchanged His perfection for our imperfection, thereby allowing you to get into God's presence, that if you die, you will be in heaven with God. And the only way to do that is to have a relationship with Jesus, to repent, to turn around from your current life, and to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to Him. That is what the Bible is all about. So if you're not a Christian and you want to begin a journey of following Jesus, nobody's looking at you. I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond right now, because we don't know how long our lives would be. If it ends today, will you have Jesus? And this is not to scare you. So at the count of three, if you're not a Christian and you want to begin a journey of following Jesus, I want to invite you to do a very brave thing. Is put your hand up if that's you. And I'll acknowledge your hand. And I'd love to be able to speak to you afterwards to help you out. One, two, Jesus loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to rescue you. Three, any hands around? People that want to begin a relationship with Jesus today. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for Pastor Peter for reminding us today that we are to let our light shine, that we are to live honorable lives. Carlos, everywhere we go, help us, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that is made available to us and the power to live an honorable and holy life that comes from your Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and honor. We love you. We love you and we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen.